Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Are you ready?
Chase Hughes covers the Washington Wizards for NBC Sports Washington. You can follow him on Twitter at Chase Hughes NBCS. All right, Chase, a month from now or whatever, whenever it is, the end of June, with the 10th overall selection in the first round, the Washington Wizards select?
Right now, as of today, I will say Tari Eason of LSU. I think Benedict Mathurin of Arizona would be great for them, but I don't know if he's going to be on the board. I know a lot of people are mocking him 10th or later, but I think the more teams look at his film, the more they're going to like. And Tari Eason is a really good wing defender, and I think he'd add athleticism and size and sort of the toughness they need in that area. And I know everyone says, well, there's probably people listening who are like, well, what about a point guard? There might be point guards. I think you got to go best player available, and I think Tari Eason's the type of player that they've been looking for a long time, and it would help fix their defense, which, you know, right now I'm watching these playoffs and the four teams remaining all have top six rated defenses, and the Wizards were 25th last year, so they've got a long way to go, and I think something they could address with the 10th pick.
So we're talking about the Wizards improving on defense again. Boy, that's something new. In the offseason, and by the way, I mean, and I talked about it early in the show, Miami's defense in the third quarter last night was sensational. Like, I equated it to a football team's running game. Like, Boston could not move the football beyond the line of scrimmage. It was impossible for them and entertaining to watch. We'll get to the playoffs here in a moment as we talk to Chase Hughes. Do you have any sense that there is a point guard that they can acquire here in the offseason, a Malcolm Brogdon or somebody else, or maybe some sort of an aggressive trade-up if they need to get a Ty Washington, or to get, if you consider him to be a pure point guard, Jaden Ivey, which, you know, he could go top three, top four. Are they going to be aggressive going after a point guard given that, you know, that is their number one need?
I think they'll be fairly aggressive. I mean, on the trade market, Malcolm Brogdon is a name to watch. I think Mike Conley Jr. is another name to watch, given how things are trending in Utah and the fact that he, you know, traditionally has been a defender. He's now up there in age, but he also shoots threes, which is a need for the Wizards. I think there'll be point guards on the board at 10 if they want to go that route. I don't know if they'll find a guy who could start day one, but Ty Washington, you mentioned him. I think he'll be there. I think Dyson Daniels of G League Ignite, I think he'll also be available. He's a bigger point guard, very young, raw, probably not going to be ready to start year one, but has a ton of potential. As far as trading up, I just don't think that's a realistic scenario. You know, last night I was listening to Woj on ESPN talk about how the Thunder, with all their first-round picks, tried to trade up last year for Evan Mobley Jr., who was the third overall pick, and they just couldn't get it done. I think it's really difficult to do that because when teams are up in that range and they have an opportunity to get a player with that much talent, they don't often want to trade out of that spot. Given if you find a star who can perform on a rookie contract, given how much these guys get paid on their second and third deals, it's so valuable. And, you know, the initial mock drafts, some of them like ESPN, for instance, has Jaden Ivey outside of the top five. I'd be absolutely stunned if that happened. I mean, you watch this guy's film. He's an unbelievable athlete. He's got such a good feel for the game. His explosiveness, it's 6'4". He's a pretty good shooter. I think he's going to go top four. I wouldn't be surprised if he went you know, second or third, or was even in the mix for the number one pick. I think he's that good. So I think it'd be really difficult to trade up for him. Unfortunately, the Wizards didn't move up in the lottery, so I don't think that's going to happen, Jaden Ivey. I still think it's going to be a trade, but they're going to have some options on the board at 10.
Orlando will have the number one pick after the draft lottery. There was no luck for the Wizards. I mean, they didn't get bad luck last night. They stayed where their odds said that they would, which was 10th overall. And look, we know this, you know, the Giannis's, the Kawhi Leonard's, you know, sometimes you can find the next great, you know, top five superstar somewhere in that range. And taking that best player available in that draft is probably the right thing to do. Who do you think Orlando will select overall? Who do you think the number one pick in the draft will be?
I think it'll be Jabari Smith Jr. You know, it's an unusual year where we don't know who the number one pick is at this point. Usually we do, like lottery night, there's extra importance to it because it's like, okay, whoever gets the number one pick is going to get Zion Williamson. Or, you know, even last year, Cade Cunningham, I think there was a consensus that had already formed. But Jabari Smith Jr., to me, has the highest floor, and he's also got a really high ceiling. He's just a very solid player at 6'10". I mean, he's not going to win a dunk contest. So I think a lot of people focus on his athleticism and they wonder what the ceiling is. But this guy at 6'10 is a very mobile athlete, shoots 42% from three on high volume, a disruptive, versatile defender, really good rebounder. I think he is the total package. He's got a great feel for the game, the type of instincts and intangibles, you know, you hope a top player would have. So I think he's going to be the guy. You know, the Orlando's had some great luck with number one overall picks in the past. You know, last time they got it was 2004 and Dwight Howard. It seems like, and of course they drafted Shaq before that. So it's like every time Orlando gets the number one pick, it ends up being a transformative pick for them. I don't know if that's going to happen this year, but I think Jabari Smith Jr. is a really good player. And I think there's a lot of talent at the top. And if it's not him, I don't know, maybe Chet Holmgren.
Yeah, I love Jabari Smith. I think that, you know, if you watched a lot of Auburn this year, you saw, you know, kind of, and my guess is he probably emulates Kevin Durant a little bit in the way he plays. I love Ivy. I don't know if he's a pure point guard, but I don't even think that matters anymore in today's NBA. And I really like Keegan Murray a lot from Iowa. We're talking to Chase Hughes. Brendan and I were talking about this yesterday. Does it say anything about anything that this particular draft, more likely than not, will be dominated by college basketball players rather than G League players or international players? I mean, most mock drafts have, you know, potentially the top 10 and maybe as much as the top 15 players being guys that played college basketball last year, which is unusual for drafts here in recent years.
Yeah, I would say that it's unusual, at least for recent years, and especially just with the way the league's trending. The last, four MVPs have been international players. You see what Luka Doncic is doing now. And G League Ignite, you figure that path is going to be more and more prevalent moving forward. But there isn't a Jalen Green as there was last year, who was a top two pick and was, you know, someone that you had to watch G League Ignite games to get a sense of in his year between high school and the pros. So, yeah, unusual. I think it's more and more unusual over time if you look back at this draft, because I think the international trend is just going to continue to move in the direction it has. And I think, you know, college basketball is going to be circumvented by players going to G League Ignite, given how well it's worked out for some of the guys who've done it already. So, yeah, definitely unusual. It's a good point to make. And certainly, you know, Keegan Murray, you mentioned him. He's going to be 22 on opening night. Some of these guys not only played in college at all, they played several years and they're still top draft picks. So, yeah, probably a bit of an unusual year in that regard.
Yeah, actually, I wonder what NIL will ultimately, you know, prove to be, and whether or not we see more of these guys staying in school, because in some cases they can make more through NIL deals than they can in G League situations. And maybe we do see this as the beginning of a trend. Who knows? Real quickly, where are the Wizards on Bradley Beal right now? I'm expecting them to sign him to the long-term deal. I think you are too, but what's the timing on that?
So nothing can officially happen until July 1st. He has to opt out of his deal when free agency opens, and then they can officially talk about a contract then. You know, the last time Tommy Shepard spoke was right after the season, and I asked him, you know, would it be helpful to get some sort of assurance from Bradley Beal sooner than later? Because obviously that situation is going to dictate a lot of what they do this offseason. I mean, if he were to leave, or if it's a sign and trade, or if he does resign, given the money, you know, that's got to be the first step. And Tommy Shepard said, yeah, it would be great, but, you know, kind of pointed out how they can't do anything officially until then. So I think the hope would be that, you know, something happens unofficially, you know, where Bradley Beal says, yeah, I'll resign, and they can sort of operate accordingly. But yeah, the timing of everything is interesting because, yes, I expect him to resign, as do you. But if something were to fall through there and they were planning for him to be back, then that would throw a major wrench into what they're trying to do this summer.
All right, we're talking to Chase Hughes, NBC Sports Washington. Let's talk about the games that we're watching right now. Game one of the Eastern Conference Finals last night, for those that don't know, Miami outscored Boston 39-14 in the third quarter. Boston was missing Marcus Smart and Al Horford last night, and they had played more recently, may have been a little bit tired, but they had an eight-point halftime lead, and then Jimmy Butler and company shut them down in a way that you rarely see in today's NBA. They couldn't score, didn't score for the first 7 minutes and 7 seconds in terms of a made field goal. I liked Boston heading into the series. I don't know who you liked, but what are your feelings after watching game one on the Eastern Conference Finals?
I still like Boston in this series. I don't mean to slight Miami. I think they've been kind of an underrated team at this point. You know, obviously people continue to bet against them, but I think Boston has looked so good. What they were able to do against Brooklyn and Milwaukee, and the way that Jason Tatum is playing and ascending, you know, missing Al Horford and Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart, of course, the Defensive Player of the Year. That's going to be tough to overcome, and I think it's going to be a long series. So if they can get those guys back, I still like Boston in the series. But Miami, it's amazing to watch them. You know, we talk about, you know, what the Wizards may be able to find with the 10th overall pick, whether it be a, you know, a Giannis or a Kawhi Leonard, as you mentioned, two guys that were picked 15th. Yeah. Yeah. These, yeah. Exactly. You know, Miami, not that extreme. There's not that extreme of cases, but they continue to find talent in the draft and in undrafted players. You know, I think it was back to back years with the 13th overall picks. They got Tyler Hero and Bam Adebayo, two guys who I think are going to make all-star teams in the future. Of course, Hero was the sixth man of the year. Max Strus, Duncan Robinson were undrafted guys. And also, you mentioned Jimmy Butler. He was drafted, of course, by another team, but another late draft pick that was a success story. But also the defense and how much they prioritize defense. I mean, Duncan Robinson has, over the past few years, been one of the best shooters in the league. And the Wizards have had he's not even playing because they're deep enough and they know that defense wins you games in the playoffs. And it's just like shows the extreme, preference for defense that they have that the Wizards probably need to take a closer look at because they've got a few guys, they've had a few guys over the years that have been in their rotation who can't defend and they keep them out there because they do something well. But ultimately, sometimes you got to prioritize defense over everything else, and that's what Miami's doing, and it's working for them.
And look, Boston is a really good defensive team as well. I think, you know, one of the unheralded, and maybe it's not unheralded, I think one of the big losses for Milwaukee, obviously there was no Chris Middleton in the last series, but no P.J. Tucker on that team, and him being on Miami, this is what you were just talking about. There's a toughness defensively with him that maybe Milwaukee didn't have this year that they had last year with Tucker. Let's talk about tonight, game one, and it's, you know, Luka and the Mavericks against Golden State. First of all, I'll ask you this question because we talked a lot about it yesterday. I made the statement that this is the first time in basically 15 years that the best player in the NBA isn't playing in the Final Four. You know, whether it was the MVP or the player that, you know, we would all debate as being the best player in the game. Do you agree with that, or do you put Luka, or even Jason Tatum, you know, prior to last night, at that level of being discussed as the best player in the game right now?
No, I absolutely agree with that. Maybe, you know, those guys will make a good case for themselves over the next few weeks, but I think Giannis Antetokounmpo is the best player in the league. He's the most accomplished player at his age, and of course won the title last year, finals MVP, two MVPs, defensive player of the year. I think what he does on both ends of the floor, if you add it all up, he's the best player in the league. And then if it weren't him, I think the other guys in the conversation are also out. You know, a lot of people would say Kevin Durant. You could argue Nikola Jokic, who's been the MVP the last 2 years, or maybe even Joel Embiid, who a lot of people thought should be the MVP this year. So I think Jason Tatum and Luka Doncic are kind of second-tier guys, but maybe they can enter that mix. Certainly if they're the best player on a title team, that's an exclusive group in the NBA. I've always thought that's the most exclusive individual accomplishment because there's a lot of MVPs who haven't been able to do that. Russell Westbrook, James Harden, there's a gap between being an MVP and being the best player on a title team, and one of those guys might be able to say that after this. But also don't forget about Steph Curry. You know, he's still playing, and I think the Warriors are going to win the title this year. I think the Mavericks have been on an amazing run, but they're running into a team that the last time they were healthy as constituted, these three guys, Steph, Clay, and Draymond Green, they won 73 games and went to the finals. And the year before that, they won the title. I'm talking about before Kevin Durant showed up. I think they're reminding us all that they were a great team before Kevin Durant signed with them. And now they've got Jordan Poole, who, by the way, was the 28th overall pick, a tremendous draft pick, another one by that front office. He looks like a future star at 22 years old. So I think they've got all the tools, and I think Steph Curry is going to be the guy left standing when it's all over.
All right, so you've given us your pick as we talked to Chase Hughes from NBC Sports Washington. But do you give Dallas a chance to make this a long series?
I'm not counting them out after what they did to Phoenix. I thought Phoenix going in had a really good chance of winning the title. I was just looking at the fact that they won 64 games, and if you look throughout NBA history, teams that have won that percentage of games, they're only the second one that didn't at least make the conference finals. Like, generally, if you're that good in the regular season, you're going to go on a deep playoff run. And I don't think anyone could have predicted how they performed, particularly in Game 7. But, I mean, Phoenix was a really good team. Not just Chris Paul, but Devin Booker. Mikal Bridges is a fantastic young player. And they beat them. And it was Doncic and obviously Spencer Dinwiddie stepped up. And Jalen Brunson, by the way, a second-round pick. He's looked really good. So, I can't count them out. I think they'll make it a series, but I do think Golden State wins.
Yeah, I think one of the things, and I think everybody's kind of honed in on this, is just how will the Warriors, you know, kind of try to contain. I don't know if you can completely shut down Luka Doncic, but how they'll guard him, and we'll get a feel for that as well.
Well, they have the number one defense.
Yeah. What Doncic did to Phoenix in the last two games, but in Game 7, 35 and 30 points, and Dinwiddie, who apparently wasn't good enough to play here, with 30 as well. You know, I am curious because, you know, I think the season was essentially over, and as much as I love the team, maybe it was too much, you know, football going on at the time. But ultimately, they made the trade, and they brought back Porzingis for Bertans and Dinwiddie. But what was the issue with Dinwiddie? Was it more an issue with Beal, or was it with the coaching staff? What was it? Because I think there were high expectations when they acquired him.
I think it was a bad fit all around. I mean, first of all, they brought a guy in who was coming off a torn ACL, so they only gave him like half a season to figure out, and he was a poor fit alongside Bradley Beal, and I think they had him in a role where they needed him to be more consistently good than he was. You know, it's funny. If you look at his games in the last series, he had a monster game seven. He had 2 points in game five.
I know.
I think he had like 4 points in game three and like 8 points in game one. And I was looking at like his games this year. The Wizards, when he scored under 10 points, they were 5-11. And when he scored over 20, they were something like 7-3. So when he was good, they won. And when he wasn't, they lost. And now the Mavs, they have him coming off the bench. All he has to do is score. All he has to do is, you know, here and there kind of lift Luka Doncic and take some of the scoring weight off his shoulders. So I think it's a lower leverage situation, and it's just a better position for him to be in. I think the Wizards, over time, that trade has a chance to tilt in their favor simply because Kristaps Porzingis ultimately is a better player than Dinwiddie and Bertans, and they got a second-round pick, although, you know, they haven't really made the most of their second-round picks in recent years. But Porzingis, that trade is really contingent on whether he stays healthy, because when he's healthy, he's a 20.8 rebound guy who can make threes and block shots. It's just that usually only have him for like 60% of available games.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
We'll see. I think the game seven performance was magnified, but really Spencer Dinwiddie's been a very similar guy that he was in Washington. Inconsistent, but, you know, comes through in some big moments.
Great job, Chase. Thanks. Good to catch up at Chase Hughes NBCS. I'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Yep. Chase Hughes, everybody. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app. I want to tell you about Loan Pronto's Loan Rate Protection Program. If you're shopping for a new home, the last thing you want is another surprise jump in mortgage rates. A lot of those recently. Excited to tell you about Loan Pronto's all-new Rate Protection Program. You get a rate quote that is locked in for 180 days. That's 6 whole months. Brian and Amy did it. They locked in an APR in the threes with Loan Pronto. When they finally found a home a month later, rates had jumped into the fours, and we know that rates are even higher than that now and going even higher, which is why you should protect yourself right now. They were protected thanks to Loan Pronto, and they saved over $200 a month on their payments. With Loan Pronto's Rate Protection Guarantee, you can make offers on new homes with confidence. And there's no fee for this, no upfront cost. Most home buyers who go with Loan Pronto save about $3,000 on average in closing costs. Call now for the all-new Rate Protection Program so you can check rate increases off the list of things that you're worried about. 571-775-1810. That's 571-775-1810. Or you can go to loanpronto.com. 571-775-1810. They're an equal housing lender. NMLS 166-1781. Subject to lender approval. NMLSconsumeraccess.org.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
PGA Championship tomorrow. Southern Hills in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You'll hear Scott Van Pelt on the show tomorrow. We'll talk some golf with him. Tiger Woods is playing. Phil Mickelson is not. The Mickelson story continues to get stranger by the day. I don't know. Part of me thinks he just needs to man up and show up and that it won't be nearly as bad as he thinks it will be. But he has opted out. We will get into some of the golf, especially early in the show tomorrow morning with tee times scheduled pretty early in the Central Time Zone in Tulsa. Should be a great weekend of golf. The players rave about Southern Hills and the course down there. All right, I wanted to get back to some Washington Football Commanders discussion. And I will mention to you right now that we'll take some calls again. I didn't get to most of you. But right now, which side of the ball, the offense or the defense, do you feel more confident in heading into next year? You know, the defense right now, some early projections of how good the defense will be, has them like outside the top 20. You know, they finished 27th DVOA last year. Third the year before. We know where they were going into the season last year, expected to be really good, if not elite by many. Not so much this year, but with Carson Wentz and health with Curtis Samuel and maybe Logan Thomas and the addition of Jahan Dotson, I actually, if you said to me, which side of the ball going into next season do you feel better about, I would say offense. And part of that is that I do like Scott Turner. I think Scott Turner does a really good job. And even though they lost two guards and maybe their most talented offensive lineman, I think their best position coach is their offensive line coach, Matsko. And I think he's been able to figure things out. Even when they've been injured, he's done a hell of a job coaching the offensive line. So with an upgrade at quarterback, and with the addition of Curtis Samuel and Logan Thomas back into the lineup, McKissick back and healthy, and Dotson, who I really like as a player, I'm actually much more confident about them offensively heading into next year. You know, one of the things we did last year is we spent a lot of time discussing the quarterbacks that the defense was going to face and how that was going to perhaps alter some of the expectations or impact some of the expectations. Well, this year, given that I feel and Brendan feels and many of the callers earlier in the show feel like the offense has a chance to really take a major step and you're more confident in the offense, you got to look at who they face defensively. Well, Dallas is pretty good defensively, and you get them twice. Philadelphia should be pretty good defensively. You get them twice. Green Bay's pretty good defensively, and they've added and focused on defense in the offseason. You get them. Jacksonville, Detroit. Tennessee you get defensively. They're pretty good defensively. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons could ultimately be a legitimate MVP defensively in the league. So they're going to play some pretty good defensive teams on their schedule with this offense this year. San Francisco, they get later in the year defensively. So they're going to play some pretty good defenses. I need to do more analysis on sort of the projections of these defenses, but just at first glance, they get some pretty good defensive teams that they're going to face in 2022 with the side of the ball that I think we feel most confident in. Last year, most confident in the defense, but everybody acknowledged, look at the quarterbacks they're going to face. Now, when you face these teams and what they actually end up being versus where they are right now in your mind could be completely different. We understand that in the NFL. Before I get to your calls on which side of the ball are you more confident in, the offense or the defense, at 301-230-0980, our Valor Home Listener lines are open. I wanted to go back to yesterday where we had Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus's lead analyst, on the show. He had done an analysis and a grading of all 32 teams' off seasons. And he was not very bullish on what Washington had done. He'd given Washington the worst grade. Now, they were tied with three or four other teams in the worst grade for an offseason, but he gave them a C-, and I asked him why.
Yeah, Washington didn't have a good grade. They had a C- overall. A big part of that was the Carson Wentz deal. We talked about this a little bit on our podcast yesterday, that this smacked of desperation. Austin Gale had a theory that it was all to do with, you know, trying to maximize the branding, the new Commanders branding. I think it was just a knee-jerk reaction to the process from a year ago going bad and saying, look, we can't have that happen again. I actually liked what they did last offseason. I think that it was good process to say, this is a good team. We don't really have a great shot at a giant jump forward in quarterback. So let's grab a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick, try and get league average quarterback play. And if that pans out, we're a playoff team and we can, you know, scare some teams because everything else is good around us. Obviously the Fitzpatrick thing didn't last more than a few snaps. Heinicke wasn't able to play at the kind of level we thought he might have in him, given the flashes we'd seen in the playoff game and those kinds of things. And then the defense just caught the bad end of variance, right? We saw what happens when you go from facing a bunch of bad quarterbacks to facing a bunch of good quarterbacks with pretty much the same personnel. You don't get the same results. But I think the process for Washington was sound, only because it went so bad, they've basically come into this offseason and said, we have to do something different. It almost doesn't matter what. And they were the team that was desperate enough to give Indianapolis a way out of that deal that they were looking for after just 12 months.
So that was Sam Monson on with us yesterday. I wanted Brendan to play that because I actually like Sam a lot and actually have come to like several of the people from Pro Football Focus that we have on the show, even if I don't always agree with them. But I think it's really important to acknowledge that, you know, you can grade the offseason in terms of the process with a low grade, in Sam's case, a C-. And you can also say simultaneously that the players that they actually added to their roster might be an upgrade and might be a big help to them. You know, you can talk about wherever you had Jahan Dotson rated, but you can also end up with a really good player and believe him to be a really good player, even if you think they overdrafted him at 16. You can think, as I do, that the Carson Wentz trade has a lot of risk to it, a ton of risk. And I think that they, you know, got played a little bit on this deal because Russell Wilson was a reality, at least in their mind, for a little bit. And then it wasn't a reality, and he got traded to Denver. And then they did not want to be left like Carolina was, you know, without a dance partner, without a brand, kind of a marquee name to put in at quarterback. And what is a very important year for this organization with the new name, the new branding, et cetera. I don't want to, you know, overdo that enough because I think everybody understands how I feel. This is a big, big year for the organization from a business standpoint. They have to be competitive, and they've got to be competitive early. So the idea of drafting a quarterback that maybe you didn't love and playing him for the future and saying, hey, that's okay, we're going to be really good in 2024, this organization can't do that. So I think they got played a little bit on the Carson Wentz deal, but it doesn't mean that they haven't upgraded at the position. That Carson Wentz's presence on the field as a quarterback with a big arm that can make all the throws, who's mobile, who's just better than Taylor Heinicke. Sorry, Sabah, and some of the others that really were believers that Taylor Heinicke was going to be the answer for this franchise and that they had found it. It's a great story, and he proved to be a mid to even maybe high-end backup quarterback in this league. No shame in that. But Washington's additions in the draft and in the offseason, whether they were the right value or not, it doesn't mean or preclude the possibility that they could be significant contributors to the team, at least in 2022. My personal feeling, you know, because we've never really, we did grade the draft. What did I give it? I gave it a C plus, right? I gave it a C plus, the draft grade. The offseason grade, I think, is such a big question mark, because the only offseason acquisition that really matters, short term and long term, is the trade for Carson Wentz. Because if he's not right, they won't contend. And if the goal is to contend, then that has to work out. And if it doesn't, then they're starting from scratch a year from now. All over again, they're starting, which they have been. John Keim wrote a story yesterday that he put out on ESPN.com that was titled, Chase Young, Carson Wentz Hold Keys to Washington Commanders Playoff Fate. I think that, you know, if you believe like I do, it comes down to big picture, Carson Wentz and the defense. Well, Chase Young's a big part of that, obviously. But Washington's got to be significantly improved at the quarterback position, or it's going to be another long season. They haven't had a quarterback in the top 10 of total QBR since Cousins in 2016. It's not a coincidence that they're 31-50 since then. Carson Wentz is an upgrade in terms of ability and potential, but there absolutely has to be something proven on all of the intangible stuff, because that's why two teams just moved on from him. All right. Overall, the offseason for Washington is a question mark because of Carson Wentz. I don't think the trade was a good one. I didn't like the trade, but at the same time, I think they upgraded at the position, and that they have somebody that potentially could find himself here in season number 7 in the NFL, or whatever it is, 6 or 7 in the NFL. And who knows, maybe this will be the Carson Wentz that we all feared he was going to become in Philadelphia for years. All right, back to the question that we asked last hour. Last year, this time, it was all about, wow, the defense. And maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick will help upgrade the offense and they can be a playoff team. The expectation going into last year was playoffs. It was. And it was playoffs primarily because it was supposed to be a very high-level defense. Here we are a year later, and it's very possible that on paper they're the worst defense in the division right now. You can make that case. Others have, and I would certainly make the case that they are the third, at best, defense on paper in the division behind Dallas and Philadelphia. So which part of the ball, which side of the ball are you more confident in? Last year, it was easily the defense. This year, for me, it's actually the offense. What's your answer and why? 301-230-0980. We'll finish up with calls on that when we come back. Our Valor Home listener lines are open. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. Don't forget, if you download the Odyssey app, you can listen to all of our shows live, and you can go back and listen to any part of any show whenever you want.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
This time last year, most Washington football team fans at the time, and observers and experts, you know, really expected, and it wasn't close, the defense to lead the way in 2021. It didn't. In 2022, I think the feeling has shifted. At least I believe it has. And the offense, I would expect to lead the way. If they're going to have a good season, the defense has to be great, trust me. It's got to step up. But right now, which part of the ball, which side of the ball are you most confident in? Offense or defense? Our Valor Home listener lines are open. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Robert in Annapolis is on hold. Robert, go ahead.
Yeah, I see problems on defense. Frankly, I think they should have grabbed Martindale when Baltimore left him go. But I think they have the makings of a very good offense. You know, for all the criticism Wentz gets, he's a bona fide starting NFL quarterback, and it's up to Turner to create the offense that will let him do his best. He does have the issues in game decisions, but, you know, they have the potential there. One thing I would recommend, and I don't know if I've heard this, but why don't they put Antonio Gibson back out at the wideout where he played at Liberty? He's 6'2", 220.
Do they really need him there right now?
Well, wait a minute. He's 6'2", 220. He's a big-bodied, the proverbial big catch radius that Wentz likes. They got a number one in McLaren on the other side. You put this guy, Dotson, in the slot. You got a passing attack. It would be like the late 60s Redskins that I remember. Because they're going to have to score a lot of points.
Now, look, you don't have Sonny Jurgensen throwing the ball, offense.
Oh, man, they put points up all the time. I think that's what you're going to have this year. That was a lot of fun.
What do you do with Curtis Samuel and De'Ami Brown? Look, maybe that's why they drafted Brian Robinson. I don't think that's the reason why.
Robinson, isn't he? He's a power back. He can handle first and second down, and you got McKissick for the third down. I just think they got Gibson is not a natural runner. I mean, he's a good player, but he doesn't, to me, forget the fumbling, he doesn't have natural running instincts when it gets beyond the line. But all that aside, by the way, on your podcast, I can verify that Chris Cooley, in fact, did hit a perfect score against the spread in Zabin's pick'em game, as did I thought it was Solly. He said it was Galdi.
Oh, yeah,
but the question is, the question is, did they ever get paid?
Probably.
That's the question.
If I don't know if Zabo owed the money, maybe not.
He'd always put that bet out. He'd always put that bet out there, never pay up.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
Yeah, Cooley claimed to me the other day that on one of those Friday pick'em segments that he did with when he was doing the show with Zabe years ago, where they picked against the spread, he had a perfect weekend against the spread, all 16 games or whatever it was that particular weekend. And I said, that's not true. I mean, that's, you know, what are the odds on that? What are the odds on a 16-team parlay, Brendan? I don't play parlay cards, and I never have, so I don't know what the odds are on that, but they're astronomical. By the way, somebody asked me during the break, where is it on Twitter? Somebody said, this is from Matthew. Wasn't you always quote Football Outsiders, wasn't Carson Wentz a top 10 quarterback? I pulled it up. No, he was. Per Football Outsiders, their DYAR metric, he was 16th in the league last year. All right, 16th. So, right, look, if he plays at a top half of the league level, if he has a season like he had last year, they're going to be much better offensively. I don't see Antonio Gibson playing wide receiver. 301-230-0980. Right now, which side of the ball are you more confident in heading into next year, the offense or the defense? Ian, go ahead.
My answer would be neither, but given that we have to do this exercise, I just simply went through which side of the ball has more Pro Bowlers, and it is the offense. But it's not much. It's not much because Wentz has made a few Pro Bowls here and there, but yeah, I mean, you're asking.
That's how you determined it at the previous Pro Bowl appearances.
I'm just using one metric. Neither side is I consider a top half of the league offense or top half of the league defense. I will give you that I think because of the weaker quarterbacks and weaker offenses they play, I do think the defense will have better quote unquote results. But I mean, look at, just go through the roster. Every player you think is great or don't think is great, just look at their, where they stand in the league. Who on this team is a all-pro player? I can't, maybe Chase Young, maybe? Is any offensive player going to be first or second team all-pro to you? Yes or no?
First or second any? Team all-pro? Probably not. Let me tell
you.
I want to just mention, like, I really like Terry McLaurin, but he's not a first or second team All Pro player.
Of course not. He's not even a Pro Bowler.
You know who could be if he's healthy, and I'm not talking about this year, but maybe the following year. I think Logan Thomas's upside is massive. I think he is one of the real finds for this particular football regime. And I just think that the quarterback skills, the ability in space, the hands, the size, you know, it's a shame he got hurt. I think he is on the rise as a tight end in this league.
He's going to be potential this year.
I don't care how old he's going to be. I think he's potentially an elite tight end in the next couple of years.
When you say, Kevin, when you say elite, do you mean a Pro Bowler?
Yes,
a
Pro Bowler, definitely. Maybe all okay. Pros a bit of a reach. I have to think about all the tight ends in the league right now. Obviously, you know, Kelsey, et cetera. But I think he has some of those same skills and talents that the best in the league have. I do.
Fair.
Chase Young is the player on the team, along with Montez Sweat, with like and John Allen, with the most all-pro potential.
John Allen, I agree. I agree with you on John Allen.
I mean, John Allen
totally
wasn't
agree
all-pro last year, wasn't he, Brendan? Was he second-team all-pro or not?
No, he was a pro bowler.
He wasn't. That's right. Right, he was a pro bowler. He was like, down. He was close, I think, maybe like seventh out of the defensive linemen. Thanks, Ian. Let's finish up with Derek. Derek, quickly, go ahead.
Hey, Derek. I'm going to be real quick. I'm just going to say it. Yes, sir. I said I'm going to be real quick. So, basically, I got more faith in the offense. It doesn't have nothing to do with the players on the offense or the players on the defense. The defense, Jim Haslett is a bum coach on the defense. I don't understand why we would have Jim Haslett as a coach on the defense. The guy was a proven loser.
Jim Haslett isn't. Jack Del Rio is. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Jack Del Rio. I said Haslett. Right. I'm thinking of years ago. Yeah, Jack Del Rio, he's a proven loser, man. And I'm just like, with that talent that we had last year, it wasn't the defense, it was the coaching. There's no way you got that much talent and y'all stunk that bad. It's coaching. It sucks.
Thanks for the call. Jack Del Rio is a highly respected defensive mind and defensive coordinator and has had very good results as a defensive coordinator in the league. Not so much necessarily as a head coach, although I think, and didn't we look this up recently, that he's got an overall winning record as a head coach?
I don't remember, but I know every year he gets worse as a defensive coordinator at all his stops. He has a really good first year.
You mean after he gets there, like his best results are in the early years?
His best result is always in his first year, and then things always go downhill.
Okay. Well, that's not very promising. I will say this, when it comes to the defense this year, given how much they've drafted it, given how much it's been expected to be really good, if it falls flat on its backside again this year, Jack Del Rio is not going to be the defensive coordinator in 2023. That I promise you. This has to be a major rebound defensively. And I'm not so sure they've got enough defensively to make a major rebound. They should be better just based on the teams they're facing and the quarterbacks they're facing. But the key will be, and John Kime pointed it out in his column, Chase Young's got to be healthy. Montez Sweat's got to be healthy. They've got to lead the way along with John Allen. All right, that's it for the show today. Scott Jackson is up next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.